This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Nuff. Nuff is one of the biggest equine supplement brands in Europe, and their products are created using natural formulas developed by vets and nutritionists using premium-grade, fully traceable ingredients. Nuff 5-star supplements are used by some of the best riders in the world, including Lottie Fry and the team at Van Olst Horses. A great choice for your horse. Thank you so much, Nuff. Last year, in 2022, in Herning, Charlotte Fry became the youngest world champion in dressage ever. She and the fantastic black stallion Glamourdale have since made the world turn their heads. Their base is at the Van Olst Stables in Holland, run by Gertjan and Anne Van Olst. Anne is a Danish-born rider that has been part of 5 Olympic Games. So once again, I return to the land of windmills to record episode 2 for my podcast Ebba and Friends with world champion Charlotte Fry.
I have really bad tan lines from my gloves, so
I think that's quite charming actually. Okay, Lottie, how are you today on a scale 1 to 10?
A 9, I think.
9?
Yeah.
You want to motivate that 9?
I think you can always be better. And okay. That drives me, so.
So I have to start this interview by sharing something that I barely could believe when I read this. But we have actually competed against each other at the European Championships in Bishop Burton 2010.
No way. Oh, that's so embarrassing as well. That was like my worst competition ever.
I was just going to say, do you remember anything from that show?
Yeah, I remember a lot actually, mainly because it was my first Europeans. And secondly, because it was a disaster and okay. My pony was so naughty.
Because I felt like that was my biggest achievement, that I actually beat you in that show. But now if you're saying that it went terrible, maybe not.
You still beat me. Fair is fair.
Long time ago. Some brief accomplishments from the last years for you. You were part of winning the bronze medal at the Olympics in Tokyo. European Championship silver in Hagen 2021. And of course, the double gold at the World Championships in the special and freestyle in Herning last year with Glamourdale. What did that double gold mean to you?
I think it's hard to put into words, really, of how special it was. And yeah, it was just when everything comes together, it's like emotional and it's so many words in one. And I still find it hard to believe that it really happened.
Yeah.
Like it still surprises me, especially when people say it or just to think back. Like it's almost difficult to remember what even happened that day because it was just such like a whirlwind. And yeah, it was an incredible moment. Yeah.
I saw that on your way in, Isabel Vatt gave you a high five. Did she say anything to you?
No, she didn't say anything. But afterwards she said, it was exciting because she knew my score already on the way in. So she'd already seen that I'd gone into the lead and I had no idea. So
oh, okay.
I think, she was just like, good job.
Yeah, supportive.
Which was really cool.
Yeah, I can imagine. So one thing that struck me when I started doing research about you, we are the same age span, but you're actually 2 years younger than me. So you were 26 when you won the world champion. And I think the middle age of the medalists at the world championships last year were around 30 with you, Catherine Dufour and Dinja Van Liere.
Yeah.
On the top placements, which is so cool because usually or historically the middle age is a bit older. Was it even possible for you to think that you had a chance at the gold?
It's really difficult to say because I think in the back of your mind, it's for sure like on your mind. Mm-hmm. And you know that the horse is capable of it. And you know that the work you produce at home is capable of it. Yeah. But for it to happen on the day, is something else. So you kind of don't dare to really dream it, but yeah, for sure it's pushing you the whole time in the back of your mind.
Was there ever a show, obviously before the World Championships, where you thought that you really made it to the top sport? Or like that you had a breaking point?
Probably the breaking point earlier that year was to get the 80% in the Grand Prix special. I think your first 80% in a straight Grand Prix is a pretty special moment, and that's something that I'm also not going to forget. When just to being able to produce in the test some of the work that we produced that day, it was like magical. And I think a lot of people were surprised, but also they were so happy and like excited to have seen such a test, which kind of strikes you a little bit like that was me and Glammy.
Speaking of Glammy, all of your horses are so amazing in their own way. Is there a trait that you look for in a horse? Is there a feeling that you're looking for when you take the reins?
Well, I would say the most important thing for me is definitely the character. And with a lot of my horses, I have the feeling that when you take the reins, they want to work and they love to work and they're just ready for like what's next. And also I love like the showmanship, like with the stallions, like Glammy and Everdale, when they go in the ring, they just give that bit extra. And if there's a crowd, it's even better because they just love to show off. And when everyone's looking at them, it's like the best thing in the world for them.
I was just going to ask, is that the reason why you almost only ride stallions?
Well, I mainly ride stallions because of here at Van Alst, it's a lot of breeding, and all the stallions are breeding a lot as well. So of course it's much more interesting for us to have the breeding stallions in the sport. I think our stallions have that character where it's possible to breed and compete at the highest level and deliver like they do when they go in the ring.
Lottie lives and works at the Van Alst Stables in Holland. She came here when she was only 18 years old, and reportedly she was a shy one, but Anne Van Alst quickly saw a hardworking and very talented young girl, and soon gave her the opportunity to ride some of the world's best horses. What was your feeling when you sat on Glamourdale for the first time?
It was so amazing. It was literally like, I think I went around with a smile on my face the whole day because it was like you were flying, literally. He's just really something special, and he always has been.
Do you have goosebumps?
Probably. Pretty much every time we go extended canter.
You have said in the previous interviews that Glamourdale is your once-in-a-lifetime horse. Do you really feel that? Is like what happens after Glamourdale? Do you think your career will end? No.
Oh, I hope not. I have so many talented horses that I'm allowed to ride at the moment from Van Alst. And I feel like the breeding is getting better each year, and Gertjan is so knowledgeable with the breeding and with the young horses. And he knows exactly what he's looking for in a good horse, which definitely makes my job easier to ride them. So I think we definitely have a lot of exciting ones coming up as well. I feel like right now with Glammy, you have everything in one, and that doesn't come around so often. And especially with like his looks and just the way he is, he's like incredible. So, I hope we're going to have more like that. And for sure, we definitely have a lot of talented younger horses, but they can make their own name for themselves and not be just like Glammy, but be like themselves.
What have you had to work on with Glamourdale?
It's a difficult question because he's so talented at everything. What we work a lot on at home is to keep him small and small trot, small canter, because naturally he has a huge canter and a huge trot. And he likes to do that every day. So it's really important, I think, to also be able to keep him small and keep him just training in a smaller, quicker tempo. So that's probably the main thing that we work on the basics every day like that.
So how do you find horses like Glamourdale?
Well, that's up to Gajan.
Yeah. Was it he who found him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he bought him as a foal, like 99% of the horses here. They are all either bred or bought as foals. And yeah, they're also 99% all our own breeding, which, yeah, I think is an amazing accomplishment also. And yeah, I think when I first arrived at Van Alst, Glamourdale was three or four. And I remember seeing him for the first time and I was like, wow, he's literally a dream.
So one thing that really struck me when I was walking around in the stables was that there were so many horses with their names ending in Dale. Of course, they're after Lord Leatherdale, the stallion that is called Producer of Champions, and so is Glamourdale. Glamourdale was born in 2011, and in 2018, he was crowned as the world champion of the 7-year-old dressage horses at the World Championships in Ermelo. He made his Grand Prix debut in 2020, and he made his international Grand Prix debut in 2021. And during the World Equestrian Games in Herning, Glamourdale won both the special and the freestyle, making him a 2-time Grand Prix world champion.
Your first memory, does that involve horses?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't have many memories without horses. So, yeah, I think as far back as I can remember, there's just been horses in my life the whole time.
So what is your first memory with horses?
That's very difficult. A few kind of memories that stick with me is like being tanked off with out the arena by like little grey Shetland ponies and up to the field where they used to go, and then they just put their head down and pull me over the top so they could eat.
Yeah, can relate to, to that. I know your mother, Laura, was also an Olympic dressage rider and that you grew up on a horse farm. Mm-hmm. Was it a given that you were going to ride?
I don't know for sure. I definitely wasn't pushed into it, but also there's never a time where I haven't wanted to ride. Since as long as I can remember, it's always been horses and riding, and to be honest, I don't have that many other interests. I really put everything into it.
So I want to talk a little bit about Laura. She passed away in breast cancer 10 years ago, 11 years ago?
Yeah, it will be 11 years this year.
My dad also passed away in cancer 11 years ago in August.
Oh, wow.
And my horse at the time came into my life and saved me.
Mm.
Did you feel the same?
Yeah, definitely. I think I spent 24 hours a day in the stable after that. Then I really put all my energy into the horses and they looked after me. And yeah, of course, it's very difficult when something like that happens. Mm. But I think animals is kind of, they know exactly what's going on and they really take care of you.
Yeah. What parts of your mother lives on in you?
I hope a lot. I think, for sure, her love for the horses. When she was younger, she also spent some years abroad, not as many as I've been abroad now, but she also spent a lot of time working abroad. She was a very hard worker, which I think is a big inspiration to me. I think I also have her very dry sense of humour.
You're also British.
Yeah, true.
Yes. And obviously losing a parent when you're young changes you and shapes you in all different areas in life. How did it shape you?
I, well, it's kind of hard really to say. I think you kind of learn to block a lot of it out, but also I think it makes you more independent and a lot tougher than you probably would be otherwise. I think it's kind of taught me to, just be stronger and kind of just get on with life.
Yeah. Basically. Which is not an easy thing to do.
I don't think it is, but I think it kind of is a shock to the system, of course, and you have to go one way or the other.
Yeah. What do you miss the most about her?
Oh, God. That's impossible to say. Too many things.
Yeah. So anything that in the horse category, you can say?
I think probably just like her overall knowledge of the horses. She always kind of knew exactly how the horses were feeling and what they needed, and it just made it seem very easy, which I now realize it's not.
I think to myself that considering horses and dressage were your mom's thing, was it obvious for you to continue riding when she passed?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think it was always a plan, and I think it kind of made me want it even more afterwards.
Yeah. You moved as an 18-year-old here to the Funnel Stables to work and to train with Anne. Who were you then?
I was very shy. Anna always like remembers like when I arrived and I like came to the door of the indoor and I like introduced myself, and she was like, who is this little girl? She's so shy and quiet. And she would probably say something different now. I think when you're 18 or when you're young, it's really exciting to make such a big move. You just want to get on and do it. Whereas I think when you get a little bit older, for example, if I was to try and do it now, it would be a much bigger thing. I'm so glad I did it when I did. And it just feels like home here now. I've basically grown up here.
So. What have you learned?
Oh gosh, many, many things. I'm still trying to figure out what a half horse is. But I think it's also giving me a lot of independence to be away from home. I've had to learn to survive on my own, just with Bammy. in the horse world, I have learned, so much from both Anna and Gechen, and many people that I've met here. It goes on and on.
I have understood that you are a real hard worker from the people around here. Tell me what you enjoy most about your job.
My favorite thing is the horses, that's for sure. I think I just enjoy most that it doesn't feel like a job, it's just my life. I love every aspect of it. It's not that it's like hard work, but it's just that I enjoy being here. And I love putting the time into the horses. I think it's just more of a lifestyle.
A lifestyle that makes you double world champion.
Yeah.
What makes you the world champion?
Oh, I think it's a huge combination of many, many things. Like, as I said, everything for coming together on the day. But then there's also the hours and hours of hard work that we put into the training. Anna is training me every day, literally sat by that arena with the headset on.
Yeah.
Like, we plan every training. Everything is planned. And we know exactly what we're going to do each day. We kind of listen to the horses, find out how they're feeling each day. And yeah, it's just a hell of a lot of teamwork behind it. But yeah, it's impossible just to say one thing, and there's so many things.
So when I was training, my trainer would always tell me, oh, like, bend your left elbow or whatever. What does Anne tell you the most during a training session? What do you have to work on?
She probably tells me to, yeah, relax in my wrists, like, constantly, especially my left one.
Okay.
And then she'll come up to me and be like, look, just this, that's it, just this. And I'm like, yes, I know. And then I start writing and she's like, you're doing it again.
But it's good to hear that even a world champion has something to work on.
We always strive for perfection.
Yeah, that's dressage, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I believe Anne van Olst has played a major role in Lottie's life, not only as her boss and trainer, but as a very special role model. Anne, too, has had an extremely successful career as a dressage rider. And since 1988, Anne has been a member of the Danish team 17 times. And she has represented Denmark at the Olympic Games 5 times. So I really understand why Lottie wanted to learn and train for her.
What role has Anne played in your, both in your life, because I understand that you have a deep friendship, but also in your journey of becoming who you are today?
Well, I think she has many roles in my life, I would say. Yeah, she's a very good friend. She's like a mentor. She's my trainer. And she's my boss. And yeah, so many different roles. And I think it's very special to find all of that in one person. And yeah, I feel like she just always knows the answer to everything. Which is good to have someone like that. And with the horses, it's like, I think anyone who has ever heard her training or has been trained by her, like, she is literally the best. I can't believe that there is anyone better. The way that she can just pick up on things and see the smallest of details, which can make such a difference. And yeah, she's kind of, I think we're very similar in a way. Like, we always want to look at the smaller details and get everything as well prepared as we can, so that when I go into the test, I mean, we've practiced it all and we're prepared, so we can just enjoy it. Not that she is on the outside. She is very nervous on the outside, but I can enjoy the test, hopefully.
On the day of a big competition, what does your routine look like?
Usually I will get up and kind of walk the horse in the morning early, just a little leg stretch. And then, yeah, I like to spend quite a lot of time alone before a big competition, just to really prepare, go through the test in my head, watch a lot of old videos, and go through everything, and then I think when I'm really getting ready and preparing, then I listen to some music and brush my teeth, and then we're ready to go. Brush my teeth is the last thing.
I have to ask you, what's your show song? Or like, what's on your playlist? Because this is important.
I have a few, and it also depends on what I'm liking at the time, but like the standard ones is like so cringe, like Unstoppable.
Sia?
Yeah.
Great song.
Fight Song. I always finish with Diamonds by Rihanna. That's always the last one I have to listen to. They're like the main ones, and then it varies, and sometimes they go on repeat depending on what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Do you have any mental exercises that you do to calm your nerves or hype your nerves, or?
No, I always like to be hyped up.
Yeah.
If I'm near the the end of the class. I like to have seen some of the tests before. I like to know the scores. And about me. Yeah, I just like to have kind of seen the arena and seen another horse go in there. So if I'm near the end of the test, I always do that. And that kind of like gets me excited and ready for it.
Have you ever had any big challenges in your professional life? Or where you really had to fight? Speaking of fight song.
Probably a lot, but I'm very, I don't know if it's very good or very bad, but I'm kind of put them out of my mind. Yeah. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it works for me. My memory's not the best anyway, but for sure things like that, I just put them out.
But there has never been a time where you really maybe got injured or really considered to maybe stop riding or...
I mean, touch wood, no. There's never even crossed my mind.
That's good to hear. So let's say when you moved here as a 18-year-old, what was the drive behind that move? Was it the big competitions? Was it the willingness to learn?
I think it was I wanted to learn, and I think every 18-year-old, you want to be the best. This was the next step for me. And it's kind of, I think when you're that age, or any age really, sometimes it doesn't matter how much work you have to do just to be able to be in a place like this. And there is nothing like this in England. And it's on such a big scale. I remember on my first week, I kept getting lost here because it was so big. I think it's just amazing to kind of, when you arrive here, it's just excitement, I think.
For sure. We felt the same when we came here today. We had tears in our eyes. What do you miss the most about England? Is it the Sunday roast?
Well, the food, my goodness, the food. Not the rain, that's for sure. The food is a huge thing for me. Yeah. Of course, my family as well is the biggest. The food, every time my family comes to visit, then I'm like, please fill the car up. Here's the list.
What do they bring?
A lot. The whole of the shop. Mainly like Cadbury's chocolate, like gravy, some of it's like really random stuff. I can't even think, like custard, like cereals. And everyone's like, but you can get cereals here. And I'm like,
it's not the same. Who is Lottie outside of the stables? You said that you don't have so much time outside of the stables, but... How would your friends describe you?
Probably crazy. and probably a little bit weird.
You have to develop the crazy part here. You can't just leave it.
I don't know why they would think that, to be honest. I think some of it comes down to what I'm doing. And a lot of my friends are not horsey. A lot of it is due to what I'm doing and the hours I put in just the places we go in the world and stuff. Yeah. And I guess the other side is, when I'm with my friends, we have a lot of fun. I can leave it like that.
Yeah.
They probably would say that I'm a bit weird as well. but then all horse girls are, I guess.
I think that is true. It gives us some sting.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That we need to have.
Fierce. That's... I don't know what else I would say. Hopefully not much.
Yeah. What, if you think of the big next goal, both personal and career-wise, what would that be?
Um, I think, to be honest, I just kind of take each day as it comes and have like smaller goals and just try to keep our trend upwards, which is, I realized, much more difficult when you get to that point, to kind of keep it there than it is to slowly make your way up. But yeah, I think, yeah, in career-wise, we're looking towards the Europeans and then looking towards Paris next year. Paris is obviously the big goal. So everything on the way there is just like a stepping stone, I guess, and preparation. And personal goals, I would say my biggest personal goal is to be able to carry on enjoying what I'm doing for as long as possible. And yeah, that's enough for me.
Yeah, I have to say, one of your up and coming Grand Prix horses is special. I'm in love. Huge fan, I must say.
It's like a real life unicorn.
Yes. Which one of your, I don't want to say younger horses, but less experienced horses, do you think has it that will go all the way?
Well, if Kiento counts, then
of course
Kiento. Yeah, he's already had two Young Horse World Championship titles. And yeah, he's also really special. And yeah, I feel like I have so many I should mention right now. But I think I'm also really excited about a five-year-old called Nalegro. So he obviously still has a long way to go, but yeah, he's showing now a lot of talent.
It's goosebumps.
Yeah.
Goosebumps feeling.
Yeah.
My last question, Lottie, is how does your life look like in 5 years? Do you want to have a family one day? Do you want to have your own company one day? Are you a fourth-time world champion by then?
Well, as I said before, I like to take each day as it comes. So planning 5 years is a big thing for me. But all I know is that I hope I'm doing exactly what I'm doing now. And yeah, successfully training horses to Grand Prix. And yeah, it's a long way ahead. And I know it goes very, very fast, especially when you start to get older. It goes faster and faster. But yeah, I think the main thing is that I'm still able to do what I love, and yeah, I can only think about horses. I'm terrible at thinking about anything else.
So as long as you get to ride and be in the stables, you're good.
Yeah,
then I'm good. I think that sounds great. Thank you so much, Lottie.
Thank you.
High five. This is part of the thing. Well done. Good job. Bunny. Good job, Bunny. This episode was produced by Story Park, and together with Ebba and friends, Lottie has decided to donate her fee of 1,000 euros to the charity Brooks. To see more of Lottie and to meet with her horses and with Anne van Olst, check out my YouTube channel Ebba and friends. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram. See ya!